AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, not quite, folks, but I'm glad to be with you. I am Bishop E.W. Jackson, sitting in for my good friend, Pastor Jeff. Great to be with you again today, and thank you all so much for your prayers, for your support, and for all that you do to make AFR possible, and indeed the entire constellation of American Family Association organizations and ministries that go into helping us to save this country. So God bless all of you. Look, first of all, let me mention, please put it on your calendar, as at least as a matter of prayer, if nothing else. Tuesday, May 12th, our Stand Awards dinner is going to happen at the Tyson's Corner Marriott in Virginia. We are going to be honoring Marjorie Dannenfelser, who is the head and president of the Susan B. Anthony List, one of the premier pro-life organizations in the country. We're going to be honoring Bishop Patrick L. Wooten of Raleigh, North Carolina, who is also a jurisdictional bishop for the Church of God in Christ. We're going to be honoring Richard Viguerie, one of the really founding members of the conservative, modern conservative movement, really birthed under Ronald Reagan. Looking forward to it. He's 92 years old, by the way. And again, he was in that class of James Dobson and Jerry Falwell and Tim LaHaye and James Robinson. So it's going to really be a wonderful time. And last but certainly not least, we're giving a posthumous award to Charlie Kirk. The award we give is the George Washington Award for Taking a Stand. I don't think there's any honor, higher honor you can be given than to be given an award named after the essential man, the indispensable man, the man I think who God used more than any single person to found this country. He led in winning the Revolutionary War, presided over the Constitutional Convention, became the first president of the United States. And there's just so much you can say about George Washington, but we're going to bestow upon them the George Washington Award for taking a stand. George Washington took a stand for our liberty, and even at the expense of his own life, his own well-being, left his wife, left his farm, and all the other things that he could have been doing. And put it all on the line for our liberty to establish this great nation. So we're honored to have an opportunity to honor these folks. That's what we're going to be doing at the Stand Awards dinner on May 12th. And this is our biggest event of the year. And anything you can do to support, go to standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us. Now, the first thing, though, I want to get into, having said that, is, you know, President Trump has embarked on what I consider to be a long overdue action to bring Iran finally to heel. And for all the people who are criticizing him, even people like Rand Paul, I would say this. You know, you can pay them now or you can pay them later. Folks, this was inevitable. I'm just glad that it's happening under a president that I trust. It could have happened under a Joe Biden or Barack Obama. And when I say could have happened, what I mean is there could have been an attack by Iran, for example, unleashing a nuclear weapon on Israel. What would we have done then? I shudder to think what we have done under a Barack Obama or Joe Biden presidency, other than sit around and twiddle our thumbs and draw red lines that mean nothing and watch the people of Israel burn. I don't think that's an overstatement. I really believe that we needed to take action and end this threat of terrorism and nuclear annihilation for Israel and a nuclear attack even on us, because make no mistake about it, they would do it. Because these people, look, they're psychotic, folks. They are psychotic. They believe in the coming of the 12th Imam. They believe that attacking Israel, creating a worldwide conflagration, a nuclear war, they believe that could lead to the rising of the 12th Imam, the Mahdi, who will rule the world under Islam and bring everybody to heel, make everybody a servant of this pagan false god, Allah. And that's the way these Iranian mullahs think. I hope not most of the people think that way, of Iran think that way, but that's the way they think. And does anybody really think that there wasn't going to come a moment when they were going to precipitate an absolute world crisis? I mean, they're plotting to assassinate our leaders. They're plotting to kill people around the world. I mean, they were around the they were involved in the bombing of the USS Cole. They've been involved in the bombing of hotels where Americans have stayed. They've been involved in the attack on the Marine Corps base. I think that was in Lebanon. But their little filthy hands have been behind pretty much every terror attack and plot. And they were involved in 9/11. Now, I am grateful to God. I mean this. Grateful to God that President Trump is dealing with this. I just pray that he can deal with it as expeditiously as he hopes to. But here's the thing that really angers me. That these European, so-called European allies, that this is not our war. Yeah, it's not your war until they put a nuclear bomb in your bonnet. I mean, what does it take? But, you know, we shouldn't be surprised. And folks, become quite obvious, I'm not a Europhile. I don't have a whole lot of respect for Europe. I don't. Because in my view, in World War II, they proved who they really are and the degree to which the culture of Europe has degenerated. Because had it not been for Winston Churchill, Europe would have faded, would have folded like a cheap suit. Even the British, most of them, their leaders, at least their leaders, were trying to figure out a way to appease Hitler and figure out a way to surrender to Hitler and save as much face as they could. And Winston Churchill was the only one standing up saying, never surrender, never, never, never surrender. We'll fight you on the seas. We'll fight you on the land. We'll fight you in the streets. And thank God that he stood up. But you, you all remember this? What was the first thing that Barack Obama did when he moved into the White House? Certainly one of the first things, the first public thing we heard about. He got rid of the bust of Winston Churchill. Oh, he's a colonialist. I mean, you have to have BBs for brains to think that way. Every European country was involved in colonization because, as I've said many times, that was simply the way of the world. The way of the world was conquest of as much territory as you could get. That era is over, but that was simply the way of the world. They want to make it somehow that Europeans were particularly evil. They were just doing what people in that era did. Winston Churchill was a magnificent and courageous leader at a time when Great Britain desperately, in fact, the world desperately needed a voice like his. But think about this. Had there been no Winston Churchill, can you think of anybody else in Europe that you could say, yeah, well, thank God for that person? No. No. Because they were so busy with appeasement and, I mean, Hitler took France in 6 weeks. 6 weeks. And they say France had enough munitions to blow Hitler's army out of, into oblivion. But they didn't have the morale. They didn't have the heart. They didn't have the commitment to their own culture, their own way of life. Instead, they sang Neville Chamberlain's song, we can work with Hitler. Yeah, we don't mind being slaves. At least we'll be alive. So, I, some of my friends, you know, talk about saving Western civilization. I always say, well, but really, you might as well just say saving America. Because if you're talking about Europe, Western civilization is gone. I wouldn't trust Europe to save a street corner, let alone Western civilization. Western civilization resides in the United States of America now. That's it. And if the Democrats get their way, it won't reside here, because they consider what I just said to be racist. In fact, some of my friends in politics have been accused when they use Western civilization. Oh, that's code word for racism. You know, it's like, you can't have a conversation with these people, because they're no longer rational. Yeah, you've heard me for a long time call this cult-like thinking, and that's what it is, cult-like thinking. Look, we got a situation in Fairfax, Virginia, where this illegal alien who has assaulted 9 girls in high school, I think he's 19, 20 years old, but you know, in these sanctuary areas where they say any illegal alien who wants an education, the Supreme Court said they have a right to an education. I don't know why they have a right to anything here, but nevertheless, they will let them in without regard. I mean, you got 22-year-olds in high schools who are illegal aliens because they have a right to an education. Well, this kid's, he's a man. But he goes in and he assaults 9 girls, and apparently the assaults are too prurient for me to fully describe here. I just, it wouldn't be appropriate. But I think just saying that, you get what I mean. He wasn't just grabbing their arms. Now, he's in jail now because of these assault charges. But the school system has said when he is released, he is welcome to come back to school. You see what I mean about cult-like thinking? He is welcome to come back to school? What about the daughters of those girls? I mean, what about the daughters of those people who are sending their child to school to be safe? To be educated. Oh, well, they don't matter. They've also said they will, because we got a new governor now, Governor Spinberger, who has said that we will not cooperate with ICE and we will not honor any detainer. So basically, they're not willing to turn this guy over. He's running around assaulting American girls, sexually assaulting them in the nastiest, filthiest way you can imagine. In school, but they're not going to honor any ICE detainer. That wouldn't be right. This is just pure evil. But let me, again, I know you've probably heard me say this, but let me explain how, because you think, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Well, you know, we come back on the other side. I'll explain to you exactly how they arrive at a position like that. If you've never heard it before, it will shock you. If you have, it will just reaffirm what you already know. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Pastor Jeff Shreve. Stand by. We'll be back in just a few moments.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Well, again, not just Shreve, but glad to be sitting in for my good friend. This is E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you today. By the way, before I get into my explanation for why these people behave the way they do, why they think the way they do, I had a question asked yesterday about the Johnson Amendment. And my answer was partially right, but it was incomplete. The Johnson Amendment, as we know it, is actually in the IRS code, which makes it legislative, passed in 1954. But the enforcement is regulatory. And that's where the interpretation of what it actually means comes in. And so when we think of the Johnson Amendment, I think we're thinking primarily of the regulatory aspect of it. I wish they would just take the thing out of the code altogether. But what President Trump has done is tried to tweak the regulations so as to protect our First Amendment rights and not have the IRS telling us what we can and cannot say. The rule about using resources to support candidates by a nonprofit are still in effect. And to the extent that that's part of the Johnson Amendment, that's real and has to be adhered to, because here's what the government will say. Well, we're not taxing you, and therefore you don't have a right to take the benefit we're giving you and use it for political purposes of influence. That's kind of the quid pro quo. You don't pay any taxes, you church, you nonprofit, don't pay any taxes, but you don't get to use the money that you save because we don't charge you taxes. You don't get to use that money to advance political purposes. Now, I think there's a First Amendment argument there as well, but I'll tell you what, I do want to keep the IRS out of my business. So I hope that that's a little bit more complete answer. Right now, under President Trump, the regulatory aspect protects our First Amendment rights, but the Johnson Amendment is still there. And under a different kind of administration, they could change the regs and we could be right back where we started with attempts to intimidate pastors and churches and others not getting involved in the political dialogue. Okay, now let me get back to this issue. Okay, so it doesn't make sense to take a guy who's assaulted 9 girls and to say, we're going to put him back in school, we're not going to honor ICE detainer, because, you know, we don't like ICE and whatever. But why? Here's why. Here's what they are really saying, what they're really thinking. We don't trust the American people to give us power long term. We don't even like the American people because we don't like the way they think. So we know they're not going to give us power long term. We've got to find new constituencies that will. And those constituencies always are victim classes that we can convince they cannot survive without us. And what we demand of them is their absolute loyalty. And in turn, we will give them our absolute loyalty. So one of our victim classes is illegal aliens. We don't care if you rob, steal, kill, cheat. We don't care if you're a drug dealer. We don't care if you're a human trafficker. We don't care if you're a cartel member, MS-13, Tren de Aragua. We don't care. We want you to know we will stand with you. As long as when the time comes, you stand with us. That means you got to protest when we tell you to protest. You got to riot when we tell you to riot. And you got to vote the way we tell you to vote. Now, folks, I think that's more explicit than any of them will admit. But I think that's what this is all about. That's why they would rather risk the wrath of a bunch of parents saying, my daughter was assaulted and you're going to bring this guy back in the schools. Because they're sending a message to all the illegal aliens saying, see, we told you, we'll be loyal to you no matter what, as long as you're loyal to us. Remember the so-called transgender kid who went into the girls' restroom and assaulted this girl? They tried to hide that, to keep that from going public. The father of the child shows up to complain at the school board meeting and they kick him out. They put the kid in another school. He assaults another girl. Now, No, we're not crazy. Okay? We're not the crazy ones. They are. And so, folks, we are going to have to be vigilant and diligent and committed, because every time you hear stories like this, every time you see these things, just know this is what they want for all of us. This is the utopia they are trying to create, because the end result they want is absolute power. That's why they're in Virginia trying to create 10 Democrat districts to only one Republican district. And by the way, as I've said, you know how they're marketing this as a vote for fair elections. I kid you not. That's what they're running on television. That's what they're using in their ads. To vote yes is a vote for fair elections. Well, we've got 5 Republican districts now and 6 Democrat districts. They want to make it 10-1, and that's what they call a fair election. Well, for them it is, because that's what they think. That's what they call democracy. See, for them, democracy is once we get the power, we can do anything we want to do. That's their view of democracy. Did you all know that 18 states have passed these laws that say that the Electoral College does not have to vote for the people that the people of the state voted for? That the law says that they can redirect those votes, I guess select new electors, and vote for whoever the popular majority voted for. So if someone has won the Electoral College but didn't win, seems to have won the Electoral College but didn't win the popular vote, 18 states are saying we can change our electoral votes to go along with the popular vote and change the outcome of the election. There's an organization called Save Our States. Check it out. That's what they're trying to do. And these people are running around talking, we have to save our democracy. Is that democracy? Yeah, for them it is. Because for them, anything that leads to power for them is democracy. And anything that limits their power is, that's a dictatorship. That's tyranny. I mean, these people are, talk about Isaiah 5, calling evil good and good evil, bitter sweet and sweet bitter, darkness light and light darkness. They are wise in their own eyes and they're prudent in their own sight. But in the sight of God, these people are evil, they are wicked, and they are fools. We just can't let them take us down with them. So for you folks in Virginia, and particularly in Southeast Virginia, this Saturday, March 21st, I am hosting something called the Emergency Virginia Conservative Leadership Summit. It is an emergency. It is an emergency, because this vote's going to be taken on April 21st. If these people are given power to completely change the configuration of the districts, of the congressional districts of the state, it may be so far gone, we might never get it back. And George Washington would be looking over the balcony of heaven, shaking his head, saying, how in the world has it happened that my beloved Commonwealth of Virginia has become a hellhole for demons? And on every level, they want more abortion. They want operations for children to change their so-called gender. They've come up with 50 new taxes. We already had a $2.6 billion surplus. They want to raise another $6 billion. So they come up with 50 new taxes they're going to impose on the people of Virginia. Because that's their view of democracy. So we've got our work cut out for us. So pray for us. And if you're in the Southeast Virginia area, that meeting, by the way, is going to take place at 10 a.m. on Saturday at 943 Canal Drive in Chesapeake, Virginia. That's my church building. It's not a church event, of course. We're just using the building. It's an arm's length transaction for all the people out there who are probably monitoring and trying to look for ways to attack us. But no, the building is being rented for the purposes of this meeting. But we can't sit by and just let this stuff happen and not do anything. We've got to count on the power of God to help us, to add his super to our natural so that we get a supernatural result. Because look, if the Republican Party, the conservatives, you name it, knew what needed to be done and how to do it, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in. So clearly, we don't know. We need God's help. So be praying for us. I know most of you listening to me can't make it, but I really believe that if they can take the state of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, James Madison, George Mason, and so on, if they can take this state, I believe that will be an encouragement to them that they can finally upend this constitutional republic and basically invalidate the Declaration of Independence and all that, and turn, where they can turn our beloved Virginia into a Marxist state, a collectivist state, a socialist state. I say, well, then we can do that in Virginia. Katie, bar the door. You Southern states, look out. We're coming for you. That's what they're thinking. I mean, they've almost, look, we've got two weirdo, wacko Democrat senators from Georgia. Think about that, from Georgia. Now, I believe that's going to get reversed. Thank God. I certainly hope so. But just think about that. What once was a solidly, unassailably red state now has two Democrat senators. Virginia, same thing. We've got two ne'er-do-wells here. One of them doesn't know, I mean, of course, neither of them knows they're hit from a hole in the wall, but one of them, Tim Kaine, I mean, he's so dumb, you got to raise his IQ 200 points to get to dumb. I mean, that's, you know, because he just says some of the stupidest things. But, you know, they've got a machine, and the machine is working. And I tell you what, there better be a counter machine. For not only for Virginia, but for this entire country, or we're going to get ground down by their machine. Look, in the next segment, I'm going to be taking your calls. The number, of course, is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you want to raise any question, any issue I've raised, or talk about that, that's fine. Something else you want to talk about, feel free. There's been a lot of discussion about the bias in AI. And I was listening to some of that and just decided, you know, let me ask AI a couple questions about myself. And so I did. I said, for example, I asked AI, you know, does E.W. Jackson preach hate? Oh, and it came up with an answer, you know. And you know what it did? It immediately conjured up every statement I've ever made, you know. Well, it didn't give the definitive answer, but it said, but many have said, because E.W. Jackson said and then quoted me, but here's the quote that they really seem to emphasize. There was a time when I was up in Boston, there was an elementary school that this organization, GLAAD, it's the Gay Lesbian Alliance, et cetera, whatever it is. But they were up there giving literature to elementary school children. I found out about it, and I raised a counter protest to go up there and stop them. Not violent, just a counter protest to say you shouldn't be doing this, and we're standing against it. Well, the person who was leading their little group came up to me and said, you know, you all shouldn't be here, and what we're doing is right. And I said to him, you have no right to be giving literature to other people's children to try to make them believe something that their parents may not agree with. And the person said to me, well, if the parents aren't going to tell them the truth, then we're going to do it whether the parents like it or not. That's literally, that's what he said to me. We're going to do it whether the parents like it or not. You see that same spirit, of course, in these school districts that disregard parents and want to tell children about their sexual identity or gender identity, whatever. I later commented on that. I said, I just thought to myself, I'm glad I didn't walk up on somebody trying to groom my child and give them literature that I object to and then want to tell me, well, you're not telling them the truth. I'm going to tell them whether you like it or not. I said, because it would take the grace of God for me not to beat that person into the dust. Now, of course, I made that statement, folks. It had to be 20 years ago. But you know what? I have not changed my mind. I have not changed my mind. I didn't say I would do that. I said it would take the grace of God for me not to do that. Because you're going to take my child and give my child something that I find absolutely filthy, nasty, abhorrent. Because here's what they were giving these elementary school children. It's a little pamphlet. It had two men on one kissing and two women on another one kissing. And then inside says, you know, something about, and the caption was just do it. And it was explaining how so many people are so much happier when they're gay and blah, 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 blah. And you're going to tell me that if I object to that, you're going to do it whether I like it or not? We have a problem. I have not changed. I'm a little older, but I haven't changed. E.W. Jackson in for Pastor Jeff Shreve. Stand by. Back in a moment to take your calls.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Let me just add one other thing before I come to your calls. 888-589-8840 is the number. That's 888-589-8840. Let me just add one more thing. You know, Chuck Schumer has called the Save America Act one of the worst pieces of legislation in the history of our country. Yeah. An act that requires people to show an ID and to prove citizenship in order to vote. Now, look, you all heard Mamdani was looking for snow shovelers and you had to show two forms of ID to be hired as a snow shoveler in New York. So you need two forms of ID to shovel snow, but you don't need an ID to vote. Here's what's so stupid about that. Did you know that only 12 states in our country do not require any proof of identification in order to vote? Only 12. 38 states require ID. Now, some of those states allow you to waive that if you say, well, I don't have an ID, then you have to sign an affidavit under pains and penalties of perjury that you are who you say you are, for whatever that's worth. But you first have to show, and you first ask for an ID, And then if you don't have one, you can't produce one. Then you have to sign a statement under pains and penalties of perjury. At 38 states require ID, so only 12 don't. How in the world is this the worst thing that could ever happen when it is in complete keeping with the way over two-thirds of the states in our country operate? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. 888-589-8840 is the number. By the way, any topic you want to bring up is cannon fodder, perfectly good for the discussion, so feel free. Let's get to the phones. We've got Kathy in Oklahoma. Kathy, welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just know that you were a former Marine, and my dad served in the Marines almost 30 years, and we were stationed at Camp Lejeune. Are you familiar with the toxic water situation at Camp Lejeune?
Yes, ma'am. In fact, I was stationed at Camp Lejeune myself, so yes, I'm familiar with it.
Okay. Well, the DOJ, all these cases, Biden signed it into law where we could, go after the government for compensation. And of course, everybody in the United States thinks we're getting compensation. But we were there. My family was there almost 5 years. My mom had three babies there. I had a sister that was born at 6 months, and she was born and she died at 6 months. And then my brother and I was born a year apart. And the doctors never could figure out why. They told my mom when we were little that we would be totally blind, my brother and I. They'd never seen a situation like our situation, that we'd be totally blind by the age of 10.
So what's happening? What's happening now, Kathy? What's that? Okay. Well, sorry to hear that. But what's...
Okay. DOJ is trying to say that the water wasn't poison. They're trying to go against the ATSDRs. There was a big news thing on Fox News just last week that they were settling a bunch of cases. Well, they're settling 9 diseases. The Department of Navy has offered elective options for only 9 diseases, very low ball figures, and they act like they have settled like millions of claims, and in fact, they probably only settled about 600 total
claims.
Kathy,
thank you so much for the call. Look, this is sad. Now, I really believe that President Trump always wants to do what's right for our service people. I think there is a culture in the military and in our government in general to resist these kinds of claims. Remember, after the Gulf War, Gulf War syndrome was denied, and finally they accepted it. That always seems to be the case. So, Kathy, thank you for the call. Look, we just pray that our service people get treated well. I was only at Camp Lejeune for about 3 months, there for advanced infantry training. I know that I'm not eligible, nor was I seeking any kind of compensation for any injury, because I didn't suffer any. But our hearts certainly go out to those who did. Let's go to Lynn in Arkansas. Lynn, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, this is short but sweet. Well, actually not sweet. But anyway, yesterday on Disciples View, he was talking about, which is on this station, people can listen to the podcast, talking about the left is now going to try to take over sheriffs.
Well, it would not surprise me.
It kind of sounded like what they did with DAs. They didn't mention like George Soros or anything like that, but you know how it goes.
Well, Lynn, thank you for the call. It doesn't surprise me. Look, anywhere they see what they consider to be a potential target, just like Georgia, I've shared this with you all, 14 years before this vote that was taken in, 2020? 14 years before that vote, they were talking to, they meaning billionaire, high-tech, big-tech people, were talking to Stacey Abrams about how much money she needed in order to take over Georgia. So anytime they see a target that they think they can do something with, they're after it. Well, sheriffs are really a kind of last line of defense. And so, again, we've all got to be vigilant in making sure that we elect sheriffs who really do adhere to the Constitution rather than following the leftist playbook. Let's go to Greg in Mississippi. Greg, welcome.
Bishop Jackson, it's such an honor to talk to you again. I caught you with Richard Harrison on the Truth and Liberty. Just great job. You're always inspiring me. Yes,
thank you,
Greg. A couple things. You know, I hope people, sometimes I'll get the cart before the horse, but it's just the Lord. I know you brought this name up, but Barack Hussein Obamanation, this guy is a Muslim. I hope that's not, I'm coming out of left field or right field on anybody, but I've seen the ceremony with his towel on his head and everything. This guy is a straight Muslim. And I found some paperwork a while back that he done in 09 when he went to Benjamin Netanyahu in June before we celebrated July the 4th and tried to infiltrate 750,000 Muslims into Israel. October the 9th of that same year, he's over there to the Muslim Brotherhood and has the Syrian president killed that was kind of keeping the peace between the Muslims and the Christians. So he's just doing what a good Muslim do. And we love y'all, and I appreciate you taking my call, brother.
All right.
God, 832, you the truth.
Thank you, Greg. Look, there are lots of opinions about this. And my wife won't mind me putting it out there, but my wife says exactly the same thing. Whenever I say something about the policies of Barack Obama, she says, well, he is a Muslim. You know, now, I'll just tell you what I think. I think Barack Obama's true religion is Barack Obama. I really do. Now, I think he does have Muslim sensibilities. I mean, he spent how many years in Indonesia? He said the most beautiful sound he ever heard was the sound to the evening call for prayer. You know, that the Arabic call that they make for prayer. So I have no doubt that he has Muslim sensibilities. I think that the ultimate, and that's part of his problem too, but I think the ultimate problem that the man has is that he's his own idol. Let's go to Deborah in Florida. Deborah, welcome.
Hi, good morning. I have two things to say. Number one, I've been calling Democrats for a long time, but
Really?
I even said one last night at a Republican meeting, but with the Republicans, there's reptiles as well. So I call them reptiles. Okay. So the other thing is we have property up in Loudoun County, and we pay taxes, and mm-hmm. actually Trump has his golf course there. And what I would like to see happen is that since we have property and we pay taxes up there, we should be able to vote in the state level, not for the federal government, but for the county and the state level. And I would like to see that pass in Virginia, that we can, because whoever owns property and paying, they are allowed to vote in the state level. What do you think?
Oh, that's what you would like to see, that as a rule.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for the call, Deborah. You know, I hadn't really thought about that. I know the general rule is you vote where you are a permanent resident, and that's been one of the issues, that sometimes people, you know, vote in multiple jurisdictions. So I'm not exactly sure about that. I'd have to give that a little bit of thought. That goes back to voting where you own property as opposed to voting where you reside. I'm not trying to thread the needle here, folks. I can see the merit because you do have some interest there. That would be a change, I think, from the general rule that we have, which is you vote where you reside and only where you reside. So something to think about, though. Thank you for the call, Deborah. Let's go to Susan in Virginia.
Hello. I just thank you for taking my call, and I just wanted to say how much I appreciate what you do and what the other good folks on this radio station do. You're brave enough to tell the truth and get it out there, but it's mostly to listeners like me who already agree with you. So my comment is this vote we're having in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
it's appalling, the wording on the ballot, if you see it. They use the word fairness in the verbiage. I hope that people aren't just walking in who don't know what it's about, but it's possible. And any vote like that will go to something that sounds better and fair. So my question for you is, how do we become a machine like they are? How do we get the word out as they seem to be able to do, that are we too afraid, timid? I don't know. I mean, wow. I feel like I don't know how to unite this, the kinder, gentler, quieter group of people. Like, I think about your meeting coming up the end of this month. I would almost be afraid to go, which is really a sad commentary on what has happened.
Well, Susan, I don't know whether you live in the Southeast area, but we're planning to do this in several places in Virginia. But if you do live in the Southeast area, don't be afraid to come. Thank you for the call. We're going to have security there, obviously. I don't expect any kind of protests or issues like that, but one never knows. Let me say this. You have asked a profound question. See, because I'm convinced that because the Democrat Party still has the spirit of slavery in it, it is more inclined toward machine politics, because machine politics is not about policies or merit. It is about controlling people. And Republicans, because we believe in individual liberty, we're not interested in controlling people. We're interested in persuading people, certainly, but not controlling people. We've got to find a happy balance there where we get better organized. So let me tell you that this meeting, I'm going to say, and it's not, I'm not letting the cat out of the bag, but I'll expound on these things, which I don't have time to do here. But I'm going to say at this meeting, we've got to have a fundraising strategy. We've got to have a grassroots mobilization strategy, and we've got to have a messaging strategy. We need all three of those in operation, because you better believe the Democrats have it. I didn't know that I'd stolen that, but I'm happy to share it. So we've got to create something a lot more effective than what we've got, because I'm told. And again, if anybody's listening from the southwest part of Virginia, by all means, tell me I'm wrong, but I'm told that the turnout was terrible there. Christians didn't turn out in the numbers we needed to turn out. Trump voters didn't turn out the numbers we needed to turn out. Second Amendment people didn't turn out in the numbers we need to turn out. I mean, what in the world is going on? Well, part of it is, you know, as much as we'd like to think people would be self-motivated, people need leadership. And frankly, in my view, there really wasn't any being provided. There really wasn't. And so that's why I'm hosting this summit, because somebody's got to step up and say, hey, folks, we've got to do something here. So you all pray for me, because I've got more than enough to do. I'm at a stage in life where I'm interested in trying to spur and encourage others to lead, not trying to lead everything myself. But since I saw nothing happening, I said, well, something's got to be done. We got to come together. So, yeah, Jen Kiggins is going to be there, and Nelson Velez is going to be there. He's one of the top Tea Party leaders in Virginia. We got Family Foundation. Mike Morisi from Family Foundation is going to be there, and a number of other leaders are going to be there. And we're going to have a panel discussion in which we're going to take questions from the audience and see what other people are thinking. We've got to have, again, a full strategy. And folks, by the way, this is good for the entire nation. And you know what? We got enough millionaires and billionaires and gazillionaires out there that we could do it. It's just a question of having the will to do it. We're going to either find that will and do it, or we're going to lose our country, one or the other. But on my watch, we're not losing America. God bless each and every one of you. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.